Okay, Rav Shechter likes to say over that a melitza, that Chazal say that emas Shabbos aleihem, that amei ha'aretz are afraid of Shabbos. So he says what that means in our generation is that in our generation every am ha'aretz can know all of Shas, have all of Shas at his fingertips, because all you need is a Bar Ilan CD and you can find anything and everything in all of Shas. But comes Shabbos and all of a sudden the real am ha'aretz comes out, because you can't use the Bar Ilan CD anymore. You're not going to be able to find anything on a search database. You actually have to know something. So recently I lost my Bar Ilan CD, so I now have a Yom Shekulo Shabbos. My whole life is Shabbos, so I can't say this with certainty because I didn't get to search it, I didn't look through it carefully, but if I'm not mistaken, although both Parshas Tezriah and Metzorah are about a Metzorah, they're about Tzaraas and how to deal with Tzaraas, entirely, pretty much, the Parshios deal with the issues of Tzaraas, if I'm not mistaken, the entire Parshas Tezriah, if you were to search the entire Parshas Tezriah for the word Metzorah, you would not find the word in the entire Parshas Tezriah. The whole thing's about Tzaraas, and somehow the Torah manages to talk around where the word Metzorah doesn't come up in the entire Parsha. It's only in this week's Parsha, which deals with the purification process that the Metzorah goes through, that we first refer to the guy as a Metzorah, that he is finally labeled a Metzorah. Previously, the Torah used much more power of terminology. V'hatzorua asher bo hanega, the guy who happened to have that thing on his skin. That's how we described him. But now, he is a Metzorah. Why is it that only as we're making him pure do we first describe him ba'atzmuso as a mitzora? Not only that, the opening phrase of the parsha seems to be in the wrong tense. Zos tihiyeh toras ha-mitzora. So I don't know, I didn't do so well in my Yevrit classes, but zos tihiyeh, this much I know, is it past tense, present tense, or future tense? Guys from Israel, straight back from Israel, Zos Tihiyeh, it's future tense, right? This will be the Torah HaMetzorah. That's a little bit odd. I don't know, maybe Zos Torah HaMetzorah, Zos Chukas HaTorah. Not Zos Tihiyeh Chukas HaTorah. It is. Torah is everlasting. It's today, it's yesterday, it's tomorrow. It's all the same. Torah was and is and is always going to apply. What's Zos Tihiyeh Torah HaMetzorah? The Torah changes tense when talking about the purity of the Metzorah. And also, in order to get the process started, it's important that a Kohen has to be involved. But there seems to be a contradiction in the Pasuk about whose job was it to come to who. Is it the Metzorah's job to go to the Kohen, or the Kohen's job to go to the Metzorah? Pasuk says, Vuhuva ela Kohen, implying that the Metzorah goes to the Kohen, that he's brought to the Kohen. But then the Torah tells us, Vayetze a Kohen el michutz lamachne. The Kohen goes to visit the Metzorah. So who's going to who? Who has to visit who in this relationship? And not only that, fourth question, breaking all the rules here, feeling wild today. Fourth question, as part of the purification process, we find something that's pretty much unprecedented in all of Kachin. With the possible exception of Siyul HaZazel and the Siyul HaShem, where we have two birds that are taken. One is brought as a karban, and the other is sent al pnei asada. Send it away. The other bird just goes and flies away. What's the significance of that? How is that an avodah of kachin? Are you going to go send it away? Even the Siyul HaZazel, you chuck it off a cliff and make sure it dies. It doesn't just go away. So what's this idea that goes away? The bird just flies away. So again, four basic questions. Why is it that the word Metzorah doesn't appear until this week's parasha? Second, why is it B'lashon Asid, Zos Tihiyeh, and not B'lashon Hoveh, that it still is? And third, which is it? Does the Kohen go to the Metzorah? Does the Metzorah go to the Kohen? And fourth, what is the story with this extra bird that gets thrown away? So there is a Medrash that you've all heard probably a dozen times at least, where the Medrash tells us, Maisa Baruch Alecha, there was a story of a guy who's selling spices, selling perfumes. Shayamah, they point out that was always a big deal, that perfumes, I think on the Star K website, they have an article about perfumes for Pesach and makeup for Pesach. And they say it's very important that a Jewish woman should be able to have her perfumes and her makeup. We always had rochlim, machzirim ba'ayaros in Klal Yisrael, that there were always people that were going around selling cosmetics for women to have, that women should feel dignified, they should feel that they have these products. Okay, but anyway, ma'isa baruch alecha. So this guy was going around selling these perfumes, shayim machzir ba'ayaros, shayim smuchos to Tzipori, near the town of Tzipori, v'yim machriz va'omer, and he was going around, he would announce, man boi l'mizban sam chayim, who wants to buy the elixir of life, the medicine of life? So they started, everyone wanted in, I want that, what's he selling? Rabbi Yana have a Yasuf Pasha. Rabbi Yana was sitting there, Pasha, learning Pshuto Shal Mikra, learning Chumash, whatever. And Shami Demachra is man by Yisam Chaim, and he hears that they're screaming, "Who wants this medicine of life?" Amrla Tala Hachazovan Li. He says, "Come here, let me buy it." Amrla Lo An Sarich Lev Lo Kavasa. The guy said, "Nah, you don't need it. You're good. You, people like you don't need this." So Atrichale, he said, I'd like to live also. What? Rabbi Yana Lo Bayi Chai? Do I not need to live? I wouldn't mind. Please, let me see what you got." So he takes out a Tehillim. And Herilo Pasuk, he shows him Pasuk, Mia Isha Chafetz Chayim. It says, Beferish in the Pasuk, who wants life? Maxim Basrei, what does it say afterwards? Nitzol Lashon Chamira, Sumira Vasei Tov. Be careful how you speak, don't speak evil about anybody, turn away from bad and do good. Amr Rabbi Yanai, Av Shlomo Machruz Vomer, Shomer Pivul Shon, Shomer Mitzaris Nafsho. Amr Rabbi Yanai says, I find the same message in the writings of Shlomo HaMelech. And Amr Rabbi Yanai finally proclaims, Kol Yomai Hayisi Kori HaPasuk Azev Lo Yisi Yodea Heichanu Pashut. My entire life I've read this Pasuk and I didn't know exactly how to make heads or tails of it. Atche Bar Rochel Zeh, until this Rochel came, Vodio Mio Isha Chavitz Chaim, Lefichach Moshe Mazir Sisol Vomer, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell us how to be so careful not to be motzi shemra. Zostia Torah Samitzora is don't be a motzi shemra, don't be someone who's a baal hashanara, because then you're going to end up having tzaras. You could ask dozens of questions on this medrash. The whole medrash is a pircha mineu bei, you know, all over the place. That's tons of questions. Let's narrow it down to two, though. What did Rabbi Yanai learn that he didn't know before from this rochel? One would assume Rabbi Yanai knew how to teach a pasuk in Tehillim. He knew how to translate a pasuk in Tehillim. He was pretty advanced in his learning. In fact, he spent some time in Pshuto Shel Mikra. That's what he was doing when the guy had come in the first place. And this is a pretty easy one. Mia Isha Chavitz Chaim, Nitzol Lashon Chamira. Come on, any self-respecting modern Orthodox elementary school student should be able to translate such a pasuk with a reasonable Hebrew education. So, and second, why is the man referred to as a rochel? From the story, it seems that he was a real chassid, and rochel is a little bit of a derogatory language. It's like saying salesman. They've done studies of this where they use the word salesman, and they have people word associated. Association. So what do you associate with salesmen? So people, you know, slimy, slick talking, you know, tricky, like people have, there's almost nothing positive that anybody has to say about a salesman. So that's what a rochel was. The rochel was the guy who would go around trying to convince you to buy whatever it is he's selling. He was the salesman. So it seems like that's not such a nice way to talk about a guy who had what to teach Rabbi Yanai. And the rochel is associated with ruchilus, because how do you do business? You tell a little lashon hara there, oh, I was just at your neighbor's house selling, you know what's going on there? You should have seen what I saw over there. Oh, really? What was going on there? And, you know, that's how you make a sale. You schmooze up the people. How do you shmuz up? I tell the Lashon Hara about everybody. So that's how we're going to refer to this guy. So I saw Mishka Mitzal Rabbi Rudinsky. I actually know where I got it from this week. Rabbi Rudinsky explains that with each action that a person takes, good or bad, there are really two critical elements. There's the action itself, and then there are the consequences of the action. A person could do, for instance, a small mitzvah, but it will have a very large impact on other people and reap rewards far beyond what the mitzvah on its own is actually worth. I remember years ago, many years ago, I was a junior madrich on the NCSY Kolo over a summer, and there was a Rebbe there, I actually don't even remember his name, but there was a Rebbe there who had two little kids, a 10-year-old and an 11-year-old, and he decided to make a siyum with his children on Mishnayos Seder Kachim. They happened to learn Mishnayos all the time, so these two little boys had finished Seder Kachim. And I was at the siyum, and a lot of other people were at the siyum, and it was, you know, it was a nice little siyum. It was very wonderful how this Rebbe learned with the boys. I remember at that time, as an 18-year-old, I thought to myself, I want to be that. I want to be doing that. That I want to learn with my kids to the point where they're 10, 11 years old, they're making a siyum on the Seder of Mishnayos and Seder Kachim. And I did. You know, that stuck in my mind. Now, I don't even remember the guy's name. I don't even remember who it was. And he certainly was just trying to give a little chizik to the NCSY Kollel boys. He wasn't thinking about the junior madrichim. Now, when I made siyumim with my children on Shisha Sudei Mishnah for their bar mitzvahs, so I can't tell you how many people in my shul, friends of mine, really kids can learn that much, and they started learning with their kids. It's just the impact. You don't know. Sometimes you do an action. Oh, what's a siyum? How big a deal is a siyum? Is it a mitzvah d'oraisa to make a siyum? No, but you don't know. A small action sometimes can have an enormous impact, and it can and you don't, you can't even chase down all the impact to find out where it all went. And the same would be true on the flip side, meaning sometimes you do what seems like a small avera, but the impact could be very great. It could be sometimes you do something that shakes you up, that you feel like is a big avera, and the impact's not as great as you think. But that might be the meaning, Rabbi Rudzinski says, of the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Chav Ches, tells the story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his deathbed. K'shchala Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai nichnasu talmidav levakros, talmidim went to visit him. When he saw them, he began to cry. So Amar lo talmidav, Ner Yisrael, Amuda Yemini, Patish Achazak, Mibnei Ma'at Aboche. Great, great, great Rabbi, why are you crying? So he says, Il lefnei melech basar v'dam hayim alichanasi, shayom kanu machar bekever. If I had to walk in front of a human king who's going to die tomorrow, shim kois alayin kaso kasolam, v'mosari en yisur yisraelam, v'miseirei misasam misasolam, where whatever he does to me, it's not going to be forever, because nothing about a human king is forever, and I could bribe my way out of it anyway. I would certainly cry, because it's still scary. I'm about to go in front of the everlasting king, the one who really matters. So we're kaso kasolam, isuro isurolam, misaso misasolam. I can't bribe him. And not only that. Elishiyesh lefanei shnei drachim. I also see two paths in front of me. Acha shel gan eden, v'acha shel gehenim. I see Gan Eden, a path to Gan Eden, a path to Gan Eden, ve'eni yodea be'ezem alichem osi, and I don't know where I'm headed. I shouldn't cry. So he says two concerns. Number one, I'm concerned because I'm going to have to stand in front of the Melech Malchayim Lachem, and he's not like a human king. And also, there are two paths. V'lo od, there's something else, there are two paths. What exactly are these two concerns that he's expressing over here? Isn't the entire fear of standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu is that you're going to be judged to go down the path to Gehenim? Isn't that one and the same? Why are these two concerns? So Rabbi Rudzinski explains, I think, brilliantly, that the reality is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's first concern was standing in front of God to be judged for his actions. This is what you did. This is what you didn't do. Did you do enough? Did you do too many things that were wrong? But his concerns didn't stop there. He was also concerned about the path that his actions had led down. Each of his actions he was concerned the ramifications of each of his actions aren't even yet decided. Meaning, yeah, I'll be judged on what I did, what I didn't do. But who knows what kind of positive is still yet to come from the mitzvos that I've done. Maybe that path to Gan Eden is going to clear up for me. And who knows what kind of negative can come from the averos that I've done. Maybe that path to Gehenim is going to clear up for me. And who knows, maybe those negative influences that are going to come, the negative ramifications, are going to outweigh the positive. So based on this, we can answer all the questions. Lashon Hara is somewhat unique in that the action itself is what seems like pretty harmless. Not so bad. It's not even a maisa. You just mention something, you just say something, it just flows off the lips very easily, comes very naturally. But the repercussions are out of control. We've mentioned in the past the story of the Ben Ish Chai and the Baal Lashon Hara, where the Baal Lashon Hara says, how do I do tshuva for Lashon Hara? He says, you got to get a great big garbage bag full of feathers and go to the tallest building in town and chuck all the feathers off the roof and then come back to me and talk to me. So he does that and he comes back to the Ben Ish Chai. He says, okay, now what do I do? He says, now go collect every single feather. Well, that's impossible. How in the world am I going to collect every? Exactly. I don't know how you could do tshuva for Lashon Hara, because for the action, okay, the action is an action, so you can do. But for the ramifications of it, of where it's going to go, you mention something to somebody, you mention somebody else, and then all of a sudden the person that you said something about is not going to get a job because of that, because he doesn't get a job, his whole family suffers because of that. Who knows? Who knows where the actions, where the ramifications go? The Baal Lashon Hara has to correct his sin, atone for his sin, and that's the easy part. He then has to begin a lifelong process where his mission has to be to dull the effects of what he had done, of what he had said. So prior to becoming Tohar, the task at hand is to be mechaper for the sin. The man who's afflicted with tzaras, hatzarua asher bo hanega. So he does that by following certain procedures. But like a recovering addict, he's never fully cured. for the rest of his life going forward, he may not be the man asher bo hanega anymore, but he is a mitzora. He is a mitzora. As he's going through his Torah process, he is the motzi shemra. Zos tihiyeh toras ha-mitzora. A person looks at the Avera of Lashon Hara and they say, okay, I'm doing something in the moment. You're not doing something in the moment. This is going to have future ramifications. And you don't know what they are yet. You don't know what the consequences are yet. So the process involves bringing a karban, good, karban, normal, mechaper for an Avera, but also sending a bird out. Symbolically, the Avera is still out there. It's affecting people in ways that are beyond our control. The second bird reflects that reality. Tzadik writes that the Rochel in the Medrash was in fact a former Baal Lashon Hara who was trying to change his life. That's why he's called the Rochel. He was making it his life's mission to do tshuva. He dedicated his life to undoing his previous sins by educating people about the dangers of Lashon Hara. Rabbi Yanai's lesson was not in how to teach a pasuk. Rabbi Yanai knew how to teach a pasuk. The Ish HaChofetz Chaim, who has made mistakes, the Chiddush was that the only way to correct it was by working for the opposite. Was by making it your mission, Mevakei Shalom V'Radfehu. You let loose with your tongue too much and allowed a lack of Shalom to come out of it. The words are so precise. Kol Yomai Hayisi Korei Asa Pasuk V'lo Hayodea Hechon Pashutu Ad Sheba Rochel Zeh V'Hodio. Until this Rochel came and let me know. The fact that he's schlepping around, that he's traveling from town to town, that he made this his life's mission to fix what he had done. That he's starting to send out another bag of feathers, but positive feathers this time. All over the place. That's the only kapara. To spread good everywhere. That's ultimately his kapara. I had a conversation just the other night. A close friend of mine came to my house to tell me that he was making Aliyah. I'm so happy for him. I was so happy for him. And I just asked him, you know, what, like, it was out of the blue. Like, what happened? He said, it's not out of the blue. He said, for 26 years, I've been living with this tremendous weight on my shoulders. I said, 26 years? You're 39 years old. What's 26 years? He said, when I was 13 years old, he said, my parents took a family trip to Israel, and we later found out it was a pilot trip to find out if maybe we should move to Israel. And the deal my parents made with each other, he said, is that if everyone's in, if we all agree that we're in, that we wanted, the whole family has to be in on it, has to agree that this is somewhere we want to be. He said, I was a 13-year-old kid in Yeshiva Flatbush. It was my bar mitzvah trip, we went for a bar mitzvah, and my parents said, let's stay till after Yontif. What do you think? Should we stay till after Yontif? That's all they asked. They didn't even tell us that we were taking a family vote on whether we're making Aliyah. And he said, nah, I'd rather be home for Yontif with my friends. And that was it. And for 26 years, he said, I'm trying to be mechaper for that. That we missed out on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael for all this time. And he said, now, 26 years later, his third bar mitzvah. And now he's finally able to be mechaper. We don't realize sometimes small actions, small words, what kind of consequences they can have. What kind of long-lasting impact they can have. The opposite of Lashon Hara is to go around and just speak good about people. Just spread goodwill, spread peace, spread positive things. Ultimately, it's best for us. In the short run, it may feel like, well, if I spread good about everybody else, then what am I going to look like? I'm going to look like I'm not such a good guy because everyone else is so good. Ultimately, it's best for us also. We're going to end up kind of smelling like roses from it also. And ultimately, that's the best kapara that we learn from the Rochel.